सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो सेवन चैप्टर। अनुव्रतानां शिष्याणां पुत्राणां च द्विजोत्तमा अनापृष्टम् अपि ब्रूयुर् गुरवो दीनवत्सलाः। अनुव्रतानां शिष्याणां पुत्राणां च द्विजोत्तमां अनापृष्टमपि ब्रूयुर् गुरवो दीनवत्सलाः। अनुव्रतानां शिष्याणां पुत्राणां च द्विजोत्तमां अनापृष्टमपि ब्रूयुर् गुरवो दीनवत्सलाः। अनुव्रतानां शिष्याणां पुत्राणां च द्विजोत्तमां अनापृष्टमपि ब्रूयुर् गुरवो दीनवत्सलाः। अनुव्रतानां शिष्याणां पुत्राणां च द्विजोत्तमा अनापृष्टमपि ब्रूयो गुरवो दीनवत्सलाः। शिष्याणां पुत्राणां च द्विजोत्तमा अनापृष्टमपि ब्रूयो गुरवो दीनवत्सला। वैष्णवीस अनुव्रतानां शिष्याणां पुत्राणां च द्विजोत्तमा अनापृष्टमपि ब्रूयुः गुरवः। अनुव्रतानां द फॉलोअर्स शिष्याणां of the disciples, putranam of the sons, cha also, vijavuttama, or best among the brahmanas, anaprishtam, that which is not asked for, api, in spite of, bruyuhu, please describe, guravaha, the spiritual masters, dinavatsalaha, who are kind to the needy. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, oh, best among the brahmanas, those who are spiritual masters are very kind to the needy. They are always kind to their followers, disciples and sons. And without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge. Purport. There are many subjects to be known from the bona fide spiritual master. The followers, disciples and sons are all on one level for the bona fide spiritual master. And he is always kind to them and always speaks to them on transcendental subjects, even though he is not asked by them. That is the nature of the bona fide spiritual master. Vidura appealed to Maitreya Muni to speak on subjects about which he might not have asked. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गिराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण ओ बेस्ट अमंग द ब्राह्मणास Those who are spiritual masters are very kind to the needy. They are always kind to their followers, disciples and sons. And without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge. The kindness of the spiritual master is the enlightenment that he gives to the disciple. So Chakshudhan Dilo Jai Janme Janme Prabhu Sai. Although this kind of enlightenment, kindness may not be so much appreciated by a neophyte devotee who may often consider some material favors to be kindness, some sweet words, some pat on the back or some glorification of some service done. So these things, if somebody appreciates, then we may consider that to be kindness. But the core aspect of kindness of a spiritual master towards a disciple is the enlightenment. Chakshudhan Dilo Jai Janma Janma Prabhu Sai. So he gives the greatest gift to the disciple, which is enlightenment. And here, what we are reading today, he is saying that the spiritual master is so kind, even without being asked for, out of simply love for the disciple, he may sometimes speak certain things beyond the questions asked also. Generally, you give answer to the question asked, but a guru may speak more than what is asked also, which is due to the disciple, due to the love of the guru for the disciple. You will see in the world that we are living in, all the animate objects, they always strive for perfection. And that propensity is there even in material life also. Like the companies have this quality control department, TQM and all that, total quality management. What does that show? Even the materialistic people also, they are striving for material perfection in whatever they are doing. Because wherever there is a chetan vastu, there is a struggle for perfection. You will see that. Like you keep a plant in a dark room, it tries to go towards the window, tamasoma jyotirgamaya. It tries to go towards the sunlight. Similarly, you will see every living being strives to survive, because to eternally survive is the prerogative of every living being. That is why you can't even catch the tiniest of the creatures like a fly or a mosquito very easily, because they always escape, because there is a desire for survival in all living beings. Similarly, there is a hard struggle for becoming happy in this world also. So Sat, Chit, Ananda, these three propensities are innately there in the soul, these qualities. And because the material body is Asat, which has enveloped the living being, so the living being tries to tear apart this Asat tendency of the material body and strive to experience the Satchidananda qualities, even while being in this world also. We go to schools and colleges because we are looking for knowledge. Everybody in this world is struggling for happiness, authentic sukha pravritti, authentic dukkha nivritti, it is said. To put a full stop to sufferings and to get oceanic happiness. Everybody is trying in this world. But that is actually the very nature of the soul, to be so happy. Anandamaya abhyasa. To practice happiness in reciprocation with the Supreme Lord is a natural prerogative of every living being. So, and also you will see, Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhishma section, a very beautiful sentence. The living entity is so made that he achieves utmost happiness in a position of, in a stage of absolute dependence, he writes. So, in this world also, even in material circles, you will see, people know, people try to strike relationships, and mutually depending on one another, they try to get some happiness, which is actually a temporary happiness. But the soul's eternal happiness comes by eternal absolute dependence on Krishna. So he gets utmost happiness. So there is certainly a propensity to strive for perfection. There is a saying in English, to err is human, to forgive is divine. Although we say to err is human, there are four defects in us in this world due to which we commit mistakes. But still everybody tries to rise above mistakes. There's a struggle for not committing mistakes. For example, if you have a glass of water here and a wind blows, the glass may fall off and it'll break, isn't it? The glass is not going to strive for perfection because it is jada vastu. On the other hand, when somebody is carrying a glass of water, even if it slips and falls, they'll try to catch it so that it doesn't break. Because there is a chetan vastu in the living body which strives for perfection. So, although materialistic people strive for perfection, Krishna says in the 18th chapter of Gita that when you light a fire, there is also smoke, always. You can't avoid smoke when you light a fire. In this world, even somebody is pious, like Nriga was a pious king, very nice fellow. He tried to give charity of cows, but then he got into trouble. Sometimes even while doing so-called good activities of altruism and philanthropism and all kinds of pious activities, one can get into trouble. One can commit mistakes in this world because it's a world of mistakes. Whereas, in the path of devotional service, even if a devotee commits mistakes, they are actually accepted by the Lord, tolerated by the Lord, who is a Bhavagrahi. Murko vadati Vishnaya, dhiro vadati Vishnave, pyosu samam punyam, Bhavagrahi janardana. It is said that while putting tilak, if a neophyte devotee doesn't know a little bit Sanskrit, while saying, he may say, Keshavaya Namah, Narayana Namah, Madhavaya Namah, Govindaya Namah, Vishnaya Namah, he may say like that. But when he may say Vishnaya Namah, but Lord Vishnu accepts how much credit for that Vishnaya? Same amount of credit he gives him, what another devotee properly may say, Vishnave Namah. The Lord is not going to pin down a devotee that you committed a Sanskrit mistake while calling my name. Like sometimes people say, hey, your people are all chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna means Draupadi. Radharani and Draupadi are going to come together. If you are saying Krishna, say Krishna. So there are some people who are Sanskrit scholars who argue that the pronunciation has to be very meticulous. Of course, one should endeavor for perfect pronunciation. But in case one unknowingly, ignorantly commits mistakes, the Lord is willing to tolerate the mistakes of the devotee and accept. So, just as the materialistic people repeatedly strive for perfection and they perish in that body, then they accept another body and repeatedly strive for perfection and they perish, not knowing how to come to the stage of perfection. But the Vaishnava devotees, they hear in Guru Parampara the wisdom which is defect-free, which is coming from Lord Himself, given from the dawn of creation, is coming down the line. So we only receive knowledge that is pure knowledge, which is free from all defects. And then receiving that knowledge, our striving for perfection is meaningful, it's sensible, because it can bring us to the actual point of perfection, of complete perfection, complete purity. It's possible. But such kind of perfection cannot be achieved by our own endeavor. It's not possible. It is said intellectual giants are simply but pygmies in spiritual life. In material life, they may be big intellectual giants. But when it comes to spiritual knowledge, they think, here also I will do some research on my own and I'll find out. That is not possible. Because the absolute truth is infinite and we are infinitesimal. The infinite has to agree to reveal himself to the infinitesimal, without which the infinitesimal has no capacity to, you know, access the infinite absolute truth. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the transcendental autocrat Krishna, he reserves the right of not revealing himself to the mundane intellectuals. Because of that, many people across the globe, like Max Muller and so many other people, have studied the Puranas and Upanishads and Vedas and everything and have never arrived at the right conclusion. So that is where the sublime truth of the Shastras comes to light, which is, the Lord says that my mercy comes upon a devotee following the mercy of a Vaishnava Guru. The Lord's mercy follows like a shadow the mercy of a Vaishnava Acharya. So one has to surrender to a Vaishnava in order for one to get enlightened, in order for one to get purified, enlightened, elevated, and brought to the right understanding. So when one wanders in this world, everybody is looking for somebody who is genuine. Sometimes they write in the shops, Shuddha Gise Banaya Hua, 25 Rupiye Ka Laddu. The next shop, you know, Recycled Oil Se Banaya Hua, 5 Rupiye Ka Laddu. Of course, they won't say that. They will just say 5 Rupiye Laddu. You have to understand why it is 5 rupees. You know, isn't it very cheaply available? Similarly, when one is searching for Guru, in the early days when Prabhupada went to West, you know, Prabhupada was telling some disciples that if you want a cheating Guru, you will get a cheating Guru. So the disciples are wondering, one disciple asked Prabhupada, how will anybody want a cheating Guru? So then Prabhupada explains, what is the meaning of wanting a cheating Guru? If somebody wants Guru not to interfere with one's Sanskrit education program, and allow one to go on with that, simply accepting some donations from the disciple, then such a guru is a cheater guru and the disciple is a cheating disciple. Certain families, people call guru once in a year, only when relatives and friends come, to show that we also have a guru. And that fellow has a long beard, he comes and gives ashirwad to all the family members and collects some 4-5 rupees donation and gives us. He doesn't give any enlightenment. It doesn't purify the heart. So, properly, one has to search for a guru. But while searching, one also should know what should one look for. If somebody goes to a diamond shop and asks, you know, if one goes to some super vegetable market and asks for a diamond there, you go to a patata shop and ask for a diamond, and that fellow will think that this fellow doesn't know what a diamond is. He will give one potato and take 5 lakh rupees. Isn't it? Yeah. So that is how people get cheated. Now, if somebody is told that one has to search and find out a guru, our search is also tainted by our imperfections and impurities. If I am wearing black color specs, everything looks black. If I am wearing red color, everything looks red. So, because our search is also tainted by rajas and tamas, naturally, one may become impressed with people who may fan the rajas and tamas tendencies also. So then one may ask a question, how if somebody with lower tendencies has to search and find out the guru, how is it possible? Akartu karma bandoyam purushasya yadashrayah guneshu satsu prakrite kaivalyam teshu vatakatam. Like that Devuti asked Kapila. She said, if somebody puts a blanket on you and beats you up, you don't even know who is beating you. Because you are covered, you only know one thing, that you are covered. And then, similarly she said, I am Guneshu Satsu Prakriti. In this world, the gunas are acting, making everybody get tossed like a toy. Everybody is like a puppet. So she asked, how can a living entity covered by modes come out of such a covering and understand what is right, what is wrong? We are all tainted by avidya in this world, imperfection. So, Prabhupada writes that this gives an indication to the need of surrender. So, he is indicating that on my own I am helpless. I am not able to strive for perfection and achieve perfection and understand perfection. But by surrendering to somebody exalted, and that exalted Sadguru is actually revealed by the Lord in the heart. So Lord is director within and preceptor without, it is said. So he is actually the only guru. Like we say this famous verse, Vasudeva sutam devam kamsa chanuramardhanam devake paramanandam krishnam mande jagadgurum. So jagadguru is only one, Krishna. But he manifests himself through the tongue of various Vaishnavas. When they speak the truth based on the Shastra. In the Bhagavatam it is said, Lord Brahma is like a diamond who reflects the sun rays. When a Kohinoor diamond is kept in front of the sunlight, then it shines very beautifully. But in a pitch dark room, the diamond will not be beautiful. But when you keep it in sun rays, it's beautiful. And you can see the different shape, different faces of the crystal shining with different colors. Similarly, because Brahma is called like a diamond reflecting the sun rays of the sun, similarly, Brahma reveals the knowledge after having heard from the Supreme Lord. It is not his own knowledge. Nobody can have monopoly for knowledge. Nobody is a possessor of knowledge except Krishna. In fact, this knowledge that the Supreme Lord gives is such a knowledge, yasmin vijñāte sarvam evam vijñātam bhavati. By knowing this, nothing else remains to be known. And by having achieved it, nothing else is hankered for by the disciple. The disciple gets utmost satisfaction. By achieving this, your disciple is connected to the ocean of happiness, where his happiness is ever increasing. And by acting in line with that knowledge, your devotee's senses of a devotee and the mind and the intelligence and the whole existence of the devotee becomes completely purified. In fact, this knowledge is so powerful that anyone who has received this knowledge in Guru Parampara will feel a deep love for Krishna, which becomes purer and purer, tighter and tighter, sweeter and sweeter. Purer and purer means anya bilashita shunya. There is no other desire. And it becomes tighter. Why? How it becomes tighter? When the Lord tests the devotee by sending sufferings in the life of a devotee, Just like imagine if there is a cockroach or something that comes flying into your room, a child may run dashing to the mother and go and tightly embrace the feet of the mother. Similarly, the Lord sends some sufferings to see whether this fellow runs towards me or runs away from me. You know, and those who don't have enough faith, they will run away. Those who have enough faith, they will run to the Lord's lotus feet. So he makes the relationship tighter and tighter. So it's not a very static process. Devotion service is a very dynamic process. Because the Lord actually wants the devotee to grow in his relationship with him and gradually blossom the sweetest relationship that exists in the spiritual realm. And in order for that to happen, the devotee orchestrates the life of his devotees to make that relationship tighter and purer and more and more sweeter also. Because initially, when the relationship with the Lord is very formal and reverential, and it is self-serving. Self-serving means people, even after coming to devotion service, we will see there are two components in our services. One component is, oh, my spiritual master is giving me some service. You know, service is coming down from Srimati Radharani. I should do this service nicely. That's one component. Another component is, once I complete this service, and then you look around, who is saying what about my service? Just like the elephant, sometimes in a jungle, it breaks a branch of a tree and it looks around, and then the female elephants, they are all cheering up, very good, well done, well done. Nothing make. And then this fellow says, now wait and watch, now only one branch I broke, now I will uproot the whole tree only. He'll put his trunk with great effort, he exerts a lot of effort, and then he uproots the whole tree and knocks it down. Now what do you say now? So in this way, there is a desire to impress other living beings. So every living being has a desire to impress other living beings. So that component is also there, which is material component. So there is a material component, spiritual component, combination. And the proportion will depend on the sincerity of the devotee. Sincerity and the advancement of the devotee and the spiritual depth. Faith is measured by depth. Knowledge is measured by vastness. In spiritual life, both are necessary. So, if a disciple increases his understanding of Nishkama Karma, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and then the opulences of the Supreme Lord, Lord and His energies, and how the three energies are working. So, this is very helpful, this knowledge, because expanding our understanding also increases our love for the Lord. Otherwise, why is Krishna giving a list of all the opulences in the 10th chapter of Gita? In order to increase our affection and respect for Him. At the same time, knowledge alone, without developing sufficient deep faith, will be very superficial. Only knowledge. Sometimes one may have a lot of knowledge, but proportionately the faith has not developed. Just like somebody may have a huge body, but the hands may have a polio hands. Or polio like. So one may have knowledge. So there are, it's like a triangle, equilateral triangle, you see. Like our bhakti, jnana, vairagya. All have to proportionately develop. Not that jnana has developed a big size and the other bhakti and vairagya are very little. Imagine if a devotee, there was one fellow who was giving a big lecture. And then in the lecture he was telling, this baingan is begun, good for nothing. Nobody should eat baingan. It's a very bad sabji. And all that he was giving in the lecture. That day, afternoon for lunch, his wife had prepared baingan fry. Baingan fry, you all know, very attractive. So many guests had come to his home. When she was serving everybody, when his plate came, she skipped him and went to the next person. Then this fellow shouted, hey, what about me? So she said, I heard in the lecture you told today, baingan is very bad. No, you don't like it. He said, that is pravachan ka vanga, he said. That is only for the pravachan only. So, if somebody has jnana but no vairagya, isn't it? Or somebody has jnana also is there, vairagya is there but no bhakti. Bhakti is a very small component and then jnana vairagya are very huge. So all the three have to develop simultaneously. So in order for these things to happen, the disciple will greatly need the ongoing guidance of the spiritual master. That's why Krishna says also, tad viddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatvadarshinaha. Three qualities he is telling. Pranipat means surrender, one should surrender to Guru pranipat, without any reservation, which means when one has wandered all around the world, one has become fed up with the world. If we had one song in South India, Inbamange, Inbamange, Enruthed, which means where is happiness you search, and wherever you get happiness, you try it, and then find out whether that is the highest happiness. If it is not, then you leave that and go to the next one. You search. So this fellow says, I first search for happiness in becoming a proprietor, like Alexander became a big proprietor of the whole world. Did he become happy? He was frustrated. Then at the age of 29, he had conquered the whole world. Then one thinks, although I am proprietor, I am not yet controller, like Hiranyakashipu. He was not only proprietor of this earth, he was proprietor of all the three worlds. Still he was not happy because he could not control Prahlad. He thought that only if I can control this fellow, I can become happy. So then one tries to possess a lot of things and then have control over those things. And then one wants to become an unparalleled enjoyer. See, these three propensities are there in every living entity. Proprietorship, controllership, enjoyership. These three propensities. So these three are the diseases of the living entity in this world, wandering living being. You will find a rat is proud of his hole. See, he has made a hole in somebody's house only. And he is bringing all his guests and everybody, relatives, and says, I have made a house. You have made a house in whose house? In somebody else's house, he makes a hole and comes and shows. And beginning from the rat up to Brahma, Brahma may show to other Brahmas, please come and visit my Brahmanda, this is my Brahmanda. But that Brahmanda is also gifted to him by the Lord, is it not? And all the fellows in between also. Like somebody, you know, takes a loan, 20, 25 years, they pay the money back, EMI and all that they have to pay. And by the time he becomes 70, the house is his own. And 1 week later, he dies. So his owning the house has no meaning at all. So in this way, people struggle hard to become proprietor. See, brahmacharya sannyasis means you keep moving from place to place. We should not want to own anything. Somebody else will own a house and they will give you accommodation also. As long as you are glorifying Krishna, they will give you accommodation. Any blunder you do, they will kick you out. Isn't it? So, if you are glorifying Krishna, we don't have to be proprietor of anything. Somebody else can be proprietor and we can just use it. Because Lord says, anyway, everything is temporary in this world. Take it and use whatever you want to use it in my service. And then leave it, because everybody captures things and leaves, and then captures and leaves and goes. Nobody, that's why Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that everybody in this world is only a watchman, he says. Why watchman? Watching man. Somebody builds a beautiful house and keeps watching and then leaves and goes. Like watchman is standing and watching the house. The owner of the house is also another bigger watchman, that's all. Because he built the house, but he can't use it forever. That goes to Krishna ultimately. So, this is proprietorship mentality, characterized by Dhenukasura. You see, the Dhenukasura, as soon as he heard somebody shaking the tree, who was shaking the tree? Balramji, who is the spiritual master, Adiguru. So, when we come to Krishna consciousness, the Guru shakes our foundation of proprietorship. One time I was giving a class, I was telling that today you are a Bharatvasi. Next lifetime, you may become a Pakistan Vasi. So one fellow came to me and said, Swamiji, pura foundation koi uda diya apne. And he was telling. I am feeling very disturbed, he was telling. Why he was disturbed? Because till then he was thinking, I am Mera Bharat Mahan. He was thinking like. So Guru also shakes the whole foundation. He says that actually this body is superficial to the soul. Your mother, father, relatives, friends, society. What are these people? This is all like bubbles in an ocean. the bubble passes some distance and then explodes. Similarly, we come together and we get separated, never to meet. That's why people come together for a while and they go back. It's like that. So in this way, Guru shakes the proprietorship foundation of the living entity, who is very busy making a plan to, you know, make a permanent settlement in this world. Just like in a train, imagine somebody says, why only two fans, why not four fans? Why a wooden plank instead of that you can have a cushioned seat? You know, why there is no curtain, let us make a curtain. By the time he makes arrangements, the station has come. He has to get down. Similarly, in this world, by the time we make our settlement, time up, you know, one has to quit. That is why anybody who is a spiritualist should remember the temporary nature of the material world always. Smaranityam anityatam. So when Balramji was shaking the tree, the Dhenukasura came running and he was a foolish ass. Asses are generally foolish only. He turned around and with his hind legs he was kicking Balramji. Boom, 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 like that. He was hitting on the chest. And Balramji never felt any pain at all. Similarly, when a guru preaches strongly to a disciple may become angry on the guru also sometimes. Like there was one fellow, one Randy, who had come when Prabhupada was giving a lecture. He was having a long hippie from the top of the head, almost below his hips, and up to the knee. Long hair he had. Sometimes women have long hair. Like that he had long hair. Jata, long jata. And he had come when Prabhupada lecture, he was behind and he was coming from a very rich family. And then Prabhupada said in his lecture, as soon as he entered, the first sentence he heard was, God has given you riches, he has given you opulences, then why be a kripana? He asked. And he was immediately thinking, maybe Swami is telling me only. No, he thought, because I am a rich man, you know, I have education, opulences, everything. And what is this kripana? He asked. And then Prabhupada said, kripana means a person who has a human body, who has wealth, who has resources, but he forgets God and simply wastes the human form of life in smoking and drinking and this and that. Why be a kripana? Again, why don't you become Krishna conscious? So this fellow thought, this Swami is a mind reader. Huh? He has understood what's going on in my mind. So later on, he surrendered to Prabhupada and he became Mahabuddhi Prabhu. See, many times Prabhupada would exactly speak what's going on in people's minds. Like, you know, there was one Roger, he had come and sat in Prabhupada's lecture. One thing he never liked with Prabhupada was, I think this Swamiji is a hater of animals, he thought. Because Prabhupada made a policy, all the dogs, cats should be kept outside only. So he was a little upset with Prabhupada. But as soon as he sat in Prabhupada's lecture, Prabhupada began the lecture saying, Krishna consciousness is not meant for the cats and dogs, you know, Prabhupada said. Now he understood why they are outside. So, actually Prabhupada in the early days was very lenient. Gradually he made things stricter. You know, he would put a pole like this and tell all the people, tie your dogs and cats to the pole. And when Prabhupada would come for the lecture, the door would be closed and all the pets would be sitting on the entrance of the door. Prabhupada would take the stick and like that, he would tap them. And they would move to the side and then he would go in. You know. So, in this way, sometimes a disciple can, the guru and the disciple, they both have a common goal. The common goal is to cleanse the contaminations in the heart of the disciple. Just like a doctor, say he has to cut the boil, the pus, he has to remove it. So the doctor is telling, come near, come near. One time when I had a boil in the right hand, I asked the doctor, can I show this hand? He said, what is the use of this hand? Your problem is here. So I would say, except this portion, any other, you know, part of the body you can. So he would, similarly, the guru also is sent by Krishna in our life exactly to purify a particular wrong script that we are carrying. You'll find that because the sender of guru is also Krishna only. Correct, no? Like when Dhruva was going to the jungle, immediately Lord Vishnu told Narada, go to the jungle, there's a good preaching opportunity there. One boy has come, one young Rajkumar. So then Narada Muni came there and that's how we get guru also in our life also. And every living being is carrying some impurities, like I was telling about the proprietorship mentality. Similarly, the karmis are proprietorship mentality, and the yogis have controllership mentality, jnanis have enjoyership mentality. That's why Krishna says, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam, my dear jnani, I am the enjoyer. He says, Sarva loka maheshwaram, my dear yogi, I am the proprietor. Not yogi, my dear karmi. Surdam sarva bhutanam. Please remember, I am the super soul sitting in the hearts, not you, in everybody's heart. And I am the friend of everybody. So, desiring to give shelter to other living beings by becoming their most intimate friend is also desired by many people. They become annadhata, they become altruist and philanthropist, and when they also try to become a yogi controller to make ashes and make gold and show some miracles to people walking on water, flying on sky, and to be a controller of material nature, which actually Krishna is. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. So in this way, the living being cannot imitate Lord beyond his tiny limit of imitation. In this way, these contaminations reside in the heart of the devotee, due to which the devotee suffers in this world. Manashashtani indriyani prakritistani karshati. There's a lot of karshan, struggle with mind and senses in this world. So, when one accepts a guru, pranipat means, one should tell the guru, all the charm of the material world is finished now. Enough is enough now. Now I want to surrender to you. And I am helpless. You please help me. Eka ki amar nahi paya bala hari nama sankirtane tumi kripa kori shraddha bindu diya deha krishna namadhane. So here the disciple is expressing the helpless position. I am on my own unable to call out the holy names. Why? Because Sakale Samman, this is another song. Korite Shakati Deho Nata Yata Yata Tabe Togai Bohari Nama Sukhe Aparadaha Behata. Somebody may have education power, somebody may have money power, somebody may have beauty power, somebody may have political influence power, but all these powers are material. But what power I am begging from you? The power to respect all Vaishnavas, which is very difficult because of our false ego and the contaminations in the heart. One wants to present oneself as most qualified and most advanced and most intelligent. See, in this world you go and tell somebody, Prabhuji, you are little thin, you should eat more prasad and put weight, and they will accept. Sahi bola. I have to build up my weight, I am going to take some tonic or something. If you tell like this. On the other hand, even if you tell him that, Prabhuji, you are quoting such a nice verses, this Gopi Gitam, if you memorize it, it will be nice, and he will accept also. But if you tell somebody, you don't have buddhi, you don't have intelligence, even a buddhu will become wild. Buddhu bhi nahi manega ki buddhi nahi hai. You try telling this to anybody in this world, they will get wild on you. Who said I am not intelligent? Because every living being in this world thinks I am the most intelligent. I am the most knowledgeable and best informed. So that is why pranipat means throw away one's so-called prestige of qualifications and surrender to Guru. And also be willing to give up the things which Guru will ask us to give up in order for us to get Krishna. No looking back. Not that you are catching Guru's feet and again looking back also. Some enjoyment of this world and some spiritual progress also. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness and sense gratification go ill together. That is why pranipat. And pariprashnena means one should not go to Guru for some spiritual discussions, but one should go for a spiritual inquiry in a mood of surrender, not in a mood of argument. If one asks questions to Guru to show others, see the quality of my question, see the quality of my inquiry, what a great soul I am, then one will never be able to learn. So pranipat, pariprashnena means the inquiry for enlightenment. And sevaya, which is the most important of the three, that one should be willing to render service as per the direction of the spiritual master. So, and that service is actually done like an apprentice. The goal of service is, of course, to please Krishna, but also to reform one's attitude. All the wrong mentalities, polluted, contaminating mentalities will be gone when service is rendered with proper seva bhav. So the bhoga vritti has to be given up and seva vritti has to be adopted even while rendering service. So in this way, like Raghunath Das Goswami, when he had surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu put him under the custody of Swarup Damodar. And what is spoken in this verse, you can see in his life, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took interest in the life of Raghunath Das. Here are a few verses from Antelila 6.278. See, Raghunath Das, he was living such an austere life, the news went to his father, Govardhan Majumdar, Hiranya Majumdar. So, his father came to know that this fellow is eating, standing at the entrance of this Simhadwar. So he arranged for some brahmanas and some servants with some 400 gold coins to go. But then Raghunath Das refused to accept them. He said, you stay separately. Whenever I need you, I will take from you. And then he thought that money has come now. Let me use it and invite Lord Chaitanya to my place every day. So every month he used to invite him for a couple of days. Mahaprabhu would come. So for a couple of years he served him like that. Prasad. Nice prasad he made and served. But at the end of which, suddenly he stopped calling Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar, what happened? Why he stopped calling me? Then he explained, what is his logic? His logic is that if I am taking money from my father, who is a prestigious Vaishnava, and then I am cooking and offering your food, whether it is proper, maybe Mahaprabhu is coming because he doesn't want to hurt me. That is why he is just coming to eat when I am offering him. But in heart of hearts, he is not happy with me. Like that, he thought. As soon as Mahaprabhu heard, this is the verse he said. Vichayira anna kaila malina haya man, malina mana haile, nahe krishna rasmaran. Vichayira anna haya rajasani mantran, data bhokta duhara malina haya man. See, data and bhokta, both people become contaminated, he said. I am eating the food and he is supplying food, but both of us become contaminated because the people who have sent this money, they are materialistic Vaishnavas. Materialistic Vaishnavas means they are not Ananya Bhaktas, they are not unalloyed devotees. They have their business, they have their profession, they have their so many things and their fixity is not on Krishna fully. They are not, like we say, Swanishtita Bhakta, Paranishtita Bhakta and Nirapeksha Bhakta. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about three people. So, Swanishtita Bhakta has to awaken Rati. When he awakens the Rati, then such a Bhakta will go to the Parinishtita stage where he is fully surrendered to Guru. He has no personal ambitions at all. And Nirapeksha Bhakta has no goal at all other than pleasing Krishna. Like Madhavendrapur is Nirapeksha Bhakta. And Parinishtita Bhaktas are like Ramananda Rai and people like that. And Swanishta Bhaktas means Swanishta Bhaktas are struggling sadhakas who can eventually become perfect in their sadhana when they awaken Rati. Dharma Swanishtita Pumsam, Vishwaksena Katasya, Na Utpadi, Dedi Ratim. When the Rati is awakened, they become perfectly situated Swanishtita Bhaktas. So, that's why Mahaprabhu also said that. Ihara Sankochayami Yeta Dina Nila Bala Haila Janiya Apane Chadi Dila. See, Ihara Sankochayami Yeta Dina. All these days I have been going because of not wanting to hurt him. And that he has understood my mind. Just see, as Mahaprabhu said, Bala Haila. Well done, he said. He has understood Janiya. Apane Chadi Dila. On his own, he has given up this practice. I am very happy now. Like that, he said, Mahaprabhu. So then Mahaprabhu asked, okay, then how is he eating nowadays? Govinda, is he taking my remnants? Govinda said, no, he is not taking, my lord. Then what is he doing? He said, these days he is standing at the Simhadwar and accepting from some donors. The donors will arrange with the Anand Bazaar people. Please give him some prasad and I will pay you. They will do that. But then after some time he stopped that also. And Mahaprabhu asked, what is the reason now? Why he has stopped now? He asked. And then he said that You know, yesterday night this donor gave me. Maybe today he will again come. One may think like that. And if the donor comes and he's looking at you and passing away, not giving, you may become upset with him also. Yesterday he gave, why is he not giving today? And the other fellow seems to be more richer than this fellow, maybe he will give. So in South India sometimes you find some pujari is doing puja. Mantra is doing. And then he's seeing, you know, which all parties have come. And then if some big party has come showing a 500 rupee note, he'll go there straight. You know? And he'll show some special, he'll show a big smile and, you know. So in this way, sometimes special treatment for a donor one may do, you know. Because we are not nirapeksh, we are not completely free. So thinking like this, Raghunatha said, I will not go there. Mahaprabhu appreciated that also, he said. Prabhu kahe bala kaila chadila simhadwar, simhadware bhiksha vritti veshyara achar. Chatreyaye atalab udarabharan, anya kata nahi suke Krishna sankirtan. See, now Mahaprabhu heard that he is now going to the booth, directly accepting prasad from there, instead of taking from different donors, people. Mahaprabhu said, very nice. Now he can suke Krishna sankirtan. He can peacefully do Krishna sankirtan, like that he said. Later on, Mahaprabhu came to know, that also is not taking. The Thailanga cows come and eat and leave some hard portions which they cannot eat, that he takes and he washes and then puts some salt and he eats. That time Sarudamadar went to meet him. Later on, Mahaprabhu personally went to meet him. And then he said, Kaha vastu kao sabe morena deha kene. Kaha vastu kao sabe morena deha kene yeta bali yeka grasa karila bakshane. He's telling, what is this? Raghunath Das, the nectar that you are eating regularly without even revealing the truth to me. Now let me see, let me also taste a portion of the nectar like that. Saying like that, he picked up and put in his mouth and said, I have never tasted anything like this. And then Sarudamadar came there and he stopped the Lord, don't eat anymore. Exactly the same way as Rukmini stopped Krishna from eating more chipped rice from Sudama's power, this thing, in a gift. So in this way you will find, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will find he takes interest in seeing his followers grow. Just like when Sanatana Goswami came with a costly blanket, Mahaprabhu did not speak anything, but he was repeatedly staring at it. See, imagine you are carrying, like one devotee was carrying some very costly, you know, wheel bag. What do you call that? A huge trolley bag he was carrying. Imagine somebody is looking at it constantly. Guru is all the time watching. Very nice, you have a very stylish trolley or whatever. So the disciple understands something wrong, you know. So like that, Sanatana Goswami felt, I think he's looking at the blanket, Mahaprabhu doesn't like it. And then you know what he did. You know, he went and exchanged with a torn quilt of a beggar. And the result is Mahaprabhu said, my dear Sanatana, the last shred of material attachment is finished. Like that he said. So that's what he's saying here, that the guru enlightens a disciple out of love for the disciple. If a guru is chastising a disciple, that's a sign of love. If a guru doesn't chastise, that means he has sprinkled water and left him, which is good. If a guru looks at a disciple and understands, hey, this is an incorrigible fellow, kuch kaam ka nahi, leaves him. So he is not as fortunate as one whom guru chastises. And the one whom guru doesn't even have to chastise, but silently guru is pleased and the disciple is going on entering service. That's why in Bhagavatam you will find Uttamas Chintitam Kuryat Proktakari Jamadhyamaha Adharmo Ashraddaya Kuryat Na Kuryat Uccharitam Pituhu. These four classes of disciples are said. One who understands the mind of the spiritual master and renders service is the first class. Second class is one, as soon as he hears the instruction, he fulfills it perfectly. The third class is one who does half-heartedly. And naturally the job is, quality is not good. He always forgets things, you know, or he postpones things, or he has to be repeatedly followed up. Just like sometimes you press a switch, tube light is on. You take away the hand, tube light is off. Some disciples are like that. If guru pushes, then they will do. Whenever guru is little away, they will not do. They are like that. And some disciples are like a machine in mill. There are some mills. One mill was going on. Big machine making noise. And there was no, this thing, powder, what do you call that? Wheat was not being, this thing. So I was asking him, why don't you stop the machine till the next customer comes? He said, एक बार बंद किया तो बंद पड़ जाएगा, वापस शुरू नहीं होगा. He says, this machine, the nature of this machine is, once you close it again to start it, it'll take 1 hour. There are some devotees who work very hard in one direction, run, and Guru has to find out in which direction he wants to run. If he is going in this direction, Guru will give him some service there. Okay, okay, do that and that. Or you want to run in this way, you do. Because if you tell him, don't do it, then he will stop completely. He will not do it. This is another type of disciple, yes? That is why you read this, I think 4.21, I think Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, a disciple is like a well-oiled machine, Prabhupada says. Like a well-oiled machine. Actually, the disciple should function as per the desire of the spiritual master. So one has to... How many of you have seen a fan? You know, regulator is there, but the regulator is not connected to the speed of the fan. You have seen that? You may turn the regulator, Namke Vasta regulator is there, but it will have the same speed only. Similarly, there are some disciples who cannot be controlled by the superiors. They are on their own only. Jo karna karte rahe, apne hi duniya mein, apne maje mein. You know, unconnected to the superior. You know, so what progress they can make, God only knows. Huh? Isn't it? So, we have to be such a disciple. If regulator means, if Guru wants us to slow down, we slow down. Guru wants us to be fast, we be fast. Guru says chup, then chup. Guru says do, not do. Huh? So, like a cow, Prabhupada says, in the same purport he says, 4.21, I think. So, here he says that the Guru, if he sees that the disciple is surrendered, proportionately, Guru will increase his teachings also to the disciple. He is receptive, he is submissive, and he is like my child, he is like my son. I want to see him grow. See, many of us may not have direct access to spiritual master. And we may say to our immediate authorities, Prabhu, you are also under three modes, I am also under three modes. Better don't demand. You may say, I only love Guru Maharaj very much. Why? He only gives me a smile. From a distance. Occasionally he may touch my head also, once in a while. So I love him very much because he doesn't instruct me. It's very easy for a disciple to love Guru because Guru doesn't instruct you. He is not your managerial authority. He is not right above you. From a distance, you see him giving lectures and dancing in Kirtan. Just like the deities of the Lord, Radha, Vrindavan, Vihari, always. Whenever you go into the altar, he's always smiling. Is it not true? It's very easy to love him. But somebody right above us, you know, our superior, who is actually a representative of the Guru Parampara for us. So, because they are also growing seniors and we are also growing, we can clarify with them sometimes. But we should know that Krishna and Guru have put these people who are coming as our counselor or authorities, you know, to whom we are accountable. And with them, if we accept them just as we accept our spiritual master, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Raghunath Das to whom? Swarup Damodar. And told him, your name will be Swarupera Raghu. And then Mahaprabhu told him, you don't have to come to me. You go to him only whenever you want. Because you have come to me now, I will give you some instruction. But he knows even better than me, Mahaprabhu said. You can ask him elaboration of what I told you. In the same manner, our spiritual master has put us under somebody. And when we work in that relationship nicely, when we try to please those who are our immediate superiors, then that pleasure is conveyed in Guru Parampara to Guru and ultimately to Shri Radha and Krishna also. And then ascending service, descending mercy. And how do you know a devotee is receiving mercy? Devotee will become enlightened just like a bulb. When you put on the bulb, similarly when disciple becomes enlightened, disciple is happy, disciple is satisfied, disciple is hankering for Krishna, a disciple is having no attraction to material life, everything will happen when a disciple is receiving the mercy. I have exceeded the time. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much.